How great you are. What a good, good father you are. How you long for us to do well, and you have good plans laid out for us if we but listen and follow you. Thank you, God, that you have given everything for us. Thank you that you love us and will never forsake us. Thank you, as we read in Sunday school, Lord, that you lavish us. You lavish us with your love. You pour your love out in abundance upon us. You pour your mercy and your grace out upon your believers, and we thank you for that. As we come before you, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to not only bask in that love that you have given us and that you shower us with, but also to be able to take it and show it to others, to lavish upon others your love, so that they too see you're a good, good father, and that they too would want to serve and honor you and tell others the good news of your love. Father, as we come, we know that even in the midst of this love, there are many in this world that are suffering. They're in pain. They have various ailments and sicknesses. They're going through different situations where maybe they are struggling financially or emotionally or in a marriage or with children or with parents or however you may want to put it, with jobs. And we just lift them before you and ask that even in the midst of this, that you would be with them in a way to give them peace, that peace that passes understanding, to remind them that their worth is in you, not necessarily in what they do or what they have, but in being a child of the great, almighty, loving God. That's who we are. As Debbie reminded us from the scene in the movie, let us not be bashful about telling others when they ask who you are, being sure we put you to the front of the list. That before we're anything, before we're American, before we're husbands or wives, before we're mothers or fathers, we're believers in Jesus Christ. And may others see that. May our actions show that. Now as we come, we pray for these cards that I hold in my hand. For Marshall Grainer and his daughter. For Carla, the caregiver, as well as her husband who has the cancer and is an amputee. For Traveling Mercies, for Kim and Alyssa, and for those, not only them, Lord, but I think of the Smiths who are in Korea teaching, for all of those that are serving outside their comfort zone, if you will, outside of where they live, outside of their home, and they're in other spots of the world teaching and bringing you glory and sharing your love with others. They may be missionaries. They may be school teachers. They may be even there just living or experiencing a vacation, but at the time, they're missionaries for you, and they're showing others your love. Thank you for them. As we come, we know there are others in need. We think of our law enforcement officers and those that have given their lives and been harmed in going about their daily work this week. We thank you for our military. Think of those that have also been hurt or killed in the line of duty as they have served to keep us safe. We just ask that you would be with them and protect them wherever they may be. And we thank you for the privileges we have because of that. And we realize that these privileges are not free, that they're paid for in blood. And we pray for our veterans. I pray for those not only at Haley, but any other veteran that's serving anywhere in the world or has served. Lord, be with them as it seems like, according to Channel 8, they keep getting the short end of the stick, so to speak. And we keep denying them the rightful medical attention they should get. Open doors even now so that they get the help they need, the encouragement they need, and the people who are surrounding them can give them the love and mercy they need. And it's not only vets, Lord. We have hospitals full. We have nursing homes full. We have hospice houses. And we pray the same thing for that the people there, we get the proper medical care, as well as the spiritual and emotional care needed. We ask all this in your matchless name now, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How many of you were here last week? Well, that's a few of you anyway. Remember last week I talked a little bit about the power of the church and how that power rested in the Holy Spirit and how Jesus had told his disciples, don't go anywhere until the Spirit comes upon you. And how I asked the questions, did we really have the Spirit in us and were we allowing the Spirit to guide us where we needed to be? Were we really operating in the Spirit, or were we operating out of our own desire, if you will? Monday morning, had somebody come to my office. Said, you know, you had a lot of people uncomfortable when they walked in the door. They had these looks on their faces. I said, oh, really? Not comfortable about you talking about the Spirit. Oh, really? Said, well, I'm only going to ask one question. Was it biblical? Was it biblical? That's the only question I got. Because comfort's not the thing. Want to be comfortable, but comfort's not the thing that we're desiring, and comfort's not the thing God wants, basically. He wants us to be more like Jesus Christ. And God is going to use everything he can to make us uncomfortable until we are perfect image of Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, most of us, that perfect image of Jesus Christ isn't going to happen until we step through the grave. I mean, that's just the way it is. But he's going to use Scripture. I'm uncomfortable every time I read Scripture. Because every time I read Scripture, I realize how short I come up. And how great God is. And I'm uncomfortable with that many times. A lot of things make us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Driving on I-4 or 98. April 15th makes me uncomfortable. Does it make some of you uncomfortable? You know, having kids and raising kids makes us uncomfortable. If there were kids in here, some of you who may still be in school, when it comes time for that test, you're kind of uncomfortable. Or when we go to the doctor for that test, we're uncomfortable. Uncomfort is part of life. Uncomfort also helps us. When I have that uncomfortable feeling and I go to the dentist and he takes care of that cavity before he has to pull that tooth, it may have been uncomfortable, but thank you, Lord, that I didn't have to go through a root canal. You know, some of you know what I mean. Say, God's not going to leave us alone until we're like Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be honest with you. You may get uncomfortable today. Let's go. Let's start. What are we here for as a church? So we've talked about that somewhat, but here's where the church begins. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said to the disciples and to you and I today, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's the mission of the church. I think any Christian that's set in church anytime or has been through a church membership class, they grasp that, don't they? We understand that's what we're supposed to be about and supposed to be doing, going and teaching and bringing others to Christ. But yet, at the same time, I've had people tell me, well, that's just what Jesus told us to do. Oh, really? Well, number one, he's the one who got up from the dead, so he's got the authority to tell me. Nobody else does. But number two, did you know it's in the Old Testament too? Look at what David wrote in 1 Chronicles. He said, declare his glory, his being God's. Declare God's glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all people. In other words, does that not sound like, go therefore make disciples of all men? All peoples, all nations, however you want to put it. Be a witness wherever you go. Because you see, God's mission has always been to make himself known to people everywhere. It's always been about, I want people to know who I am. In fact, if you'll go read the Psalms, a lot of them talk about how creation speaks to the wonder of God and the creation of God. Paul even writes about it in first chapter of Romans, how the heavens declare the glory of God. He's always been about making himself known. In fact, is that not why Jesus Christ came to earth? To make God known to mankind. John 3:16, that verse that everybody can quote to me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See how quick we go back to the King Jimmy and stuff we learned way back then? You like King Jimmy, huh? But God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Now that's the way we translate it. That's the way it's said. And certainly that's what we mean, because Jesus gave his life on the cross at Calvary. But we could read that a little bit different. That would be just as correct. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. Because remember, he sends Jesus from heaven to earth so that we can see God. We use the word incarnate, and I'll get to that in a minute. So God's mission has always been to send people to make his love known. He sent Jesus. Guess what that meant? When he sent Jesus, that meant Jesus was a missionary of God. You tracking with me? You following? Since God sent him from heaven to earth, and since he was here to show us God in the flesh and to give glory to God, he is a missionary of God, if you will. And we as Christians has been Christ-like, as little Christ is what that word means. We too ought to be missionaries of God, telling others about his love. In fact, Jesus said this in John 15. Talking to his disciples, this is in that upper room that last night before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Guess what? That still applies to you and I. We can say we came to Jesus Christ all day long. We can say we found Jesus Christ all day long, but we didn't find Christ. God just kept dragging us until we couldn't resist no more. And we finally said, okay, Lord, I'll give. You know, he chose us. He said, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. That means you and I have been called by God and appointed to go and bear fruit. What is fruit for God? Other believers. Other people knowing about the love. Other people being shown the love to the point that they want to be a part of it, if you will. I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We've been appointed to go and share the good news with other people. But do we? Paul, well, it's not Paul, I don't think, in Acts chapter 13, the apostles, they wrote this. The Lord has commanded us, saying, I've set you to be a light for the Gentiles, so that you can bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Sound like the Great Commission, remember? Just leave it up there a minute, Christy. Go baptize, teach in all nations. But look at what he says. I've sent you to be a light for the Gentiles. Now, the disciples were all Jews. Ken, Jews despised Gentiles. Gentiles were considered dogs to the Jews. Any unbeliever was considered an outcast, if you will. God couldn't love them because he chose us. We're off of Abraham and Isaac. And Jacob, Moses was our father. And yet, David wrote, which we read in Chronicles, go into all the nations. Jesus told us to go everywhere. And here we're reading that we have been sent to be a light to the Gentiles. Let's replace that word, because anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, replace Gentiles with that. Anybody who doesn't know him, we've been sent to bring God's salvation to them. So, That means that every one of us in here are missionaries, does it not? We may not want to think that way, but that's kind of what he means. In fact, Paul put it this way. Romans, Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the good news. But how are they to call on the one whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in the one whom they've not heard of? In other words, if nobody's ever told you about the love of God, nobody's ever told you about how Jesus died for you, nobody's ever told you there is a God that loves you that much, how are you going to know? He goes on, he says, how are they to hear without someone to proclaim? Who proclaims? Missionaries. How are they to proclaim unless they are sent? Has it written how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? In other words, how beautiful are those who go and tell others about Jesus Christ and the love that God has for them. Somebody has to tell the good news of the gospel to other people. Those somebodies are called missionaries. That is you and I here in Lakeland or wherever we may be. We have a mission. We're sent for a purpose. And some people will say, well, wait a minute, I'm not sent anywhere. I know I'm supposed to be right here where I'm at. Well, guess what? Put your steel toes on, okay? Jesus again in John said, as you have sent me, praying to God, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them. In other words, we're sent into the world. Doesn't mean we're sent to Africa or South America, but maybe across the street or out at the workplace or in the school. Or wherever we may find ourselves. We've been sent to wherever our place of employment is to show others how to live for God and how to obey God where we may be. We have been sent. Jesus echoed this in John 20:21, where he told us, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Now, we talk this word when we talk about Jesus at Christmas. We're going to talk about him being born of the Virgin Mary, of Jesus coming, putting on flesh and bones, and, you know, being a human, fully human. And we use this word called incarnate or incarnational. You may hear it either way. And what that means is that God came and put on a physical body and lived with us to show us how to live. Now, if Jesus, who was the missionary of God, did that, does that not mean that you and I should be putting on the clothing of the people we try to reach out there and to live with them in such a way that we learn about them? Think about this with me. When Jesus came, he had to be born out of a womb. You know, if he wouldn't, he wouldn't have been human. People may not have accepted him. That channel that talks about the aliens coming from outer space, may, you know, Jesus would have been considered one of them if he just showed up and said, I'm the Lord and you're going to worship me. Plus, how many people do you think would have believed him? But because he was born of a human, he come up, he had the same desires we did. He had to grow. He had to mature. He spent time with people. He learned about people. Then he began to teach them at the age roughly of 30. When he started teaching them, Jesus had to come. He had to learn the things. Think about a missionary with me. Let's just pretend, okay? Can y'all pretend over here, Brad? Let's pretend we're missionaries and we're going to go to the Congo. I think they got another name for it now, Zaire in Africa. But we're going over there to the deepest, darkest Africa. We're going to be missionaries. What do you think is going to happen if we walk in there wherever we're going and say, I'm here to save you. Y'all going to do exactly what I do. Okay, y'all show up. It ain't going to go over too good. That's how a lot of them got ate. You know, they got in the pots and they got ran out and everything else. No, when you go as a missionary, you go and you have to, before you do anything, observe people. You have to observe the culture. I've got a friend. His name is Mark Davis. Penny knows him. He's a veterinarian now, or he was in Arcadia. He grew up in Africa. His father was a missionary pilot for the United Methodist Church. And Mark grew up over there, and Mark was my prayer partner. Mark and I would meet at 6 o'clock every morning for prayer for 3 or 4 years there. But Mark told me some of the stories of him growing up over there and how missionaries had to do their work. They had to learn the language. When you go in over there, the first thing they had to do was learn the language. Some of them, there was no language that anybody could teach them. They had to go and you had to live within the society, and you had to find somebody that you could hopefully knew a little. Most of what he said, they would know some French, and they would be able to talk back and forth in French to learn the language. They had to learn the language. They had to learn the social customs. They couldn't just go in there and disrupt things. They had to just adapt. Mark has some grainy, really grainy old black and white video, and he showed some one day to a couple of us who were over there one day, and he was talking about it. And he was back in Zaire, and he was showing this grainy, I guess it's the reel, and these guys, they were all tall, dressed with feathers. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They had feathers coming out of here. They had feathers around here and everything else. Had these big, long spikes. They were barefoot. Had all their faces painted. And they were doing this over and over and over and over, like Zulus. I think I've seen it on Zulu. And they were just over and over. And I'm like, Mark, what are they doing? He said, that's the beauty of it. He said, that's what they used to do before they went to war. They would do that. He said, what they're doing now is they're worshiping God. Huh? Talk, what do you mean? They changed the words from the words of we're going to kill you and eat you and all this. They talked about how great God was and everything else. But they still used the music and the dance they were used to, because anything else would not have meant anything to them. Are you following me? Same token. The dress. Mark said they wasn't going to show up at church in a three-piece suit and a tie. They even, and he was telling me this, they even had to learn, I'm sorry, they don't wear clothes over there, okay? The women don't have clothes in the tops and stuff. And it's just part of who they are and where they live, and everybody's like that. They don't show up at the door to learn about God and cover themselves up because they don't have any idea that they're not supposed to. They have to adapt to the dress and everything else until they can get into the culture and learn. They don't show up, they don't have the same concept of time that we do. You didn't say we're going to have church at 8 o'clock. Because at 8 o'clock, they're out hunting and doing other things. They all gather at mealtime. At dark is when they gather. So they held their church when everybody was there at night and when they could share around a meal. They had to adapt everything. Now, they also prayed. Mark was telling me the number of hours that they spent in prayer for God to open the doors to those natives that they were witnessing to and that they were missionaries to. Now, he's just a kid. He's just watching all this from his dad and the other people that are there. He said they spent hours in prayer, and God would open a door miraculously sometime. He was telling me about one time a missionary couple had been witnessing and had been living with this group that was way out in the boondocks. Literally, for about 5 years. And the chief had a son. And the chief's son got really, 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 really sick and was about to die. And they talked on shortwaves, and they were able to get a shortwave radio message to Mark's dad. Hey, he's going to die. Can you come and fly him out? Well, they didn't have a strip to fly in, but they had a wadi, a dry riverbed that they thought he could land the plane in. And Mark's dad went in and landed that plane there. They took this chief's son out, took him to a French hospital, and his life was saved. Because of that, the French chief said, okay, why did you do that for my son? Talked about Jesus. I'll listen to what you have to say now. The whole tribe became Christian. But it took 5 years and a sick boy and almost a miracle But Mark said they rejoiced because they had prayed for the doors to open, and that opened that door. If you and I are missionaries, are we doing things like this? To put your steel toes on. If we're missionaries, that means, guess what? We can't have the music we like. We have to have the music that will speak to people that come in here. And do you know what our history is with the Wesleys? You know Charles Wesley wrote over 8,000 hymns? 8,000. He has the most hymns of anybody else written. They were actually hymns and poems. But you know what they set them to? They set them to barroom songs. The songs were set to melodies that people knew, and the people knew things that were sang in the bar rooms, or say popular music today. And they wrote the theology and set them to those tones because they couldn't teach the people the song, but they could teach them the words. They were contemporary music artists before contemporary was even a word. But how hung up are we on having our style of music when we should be reaching others? Or a time, or a dress, or the trappings of a building, or whatever else you may want to put in there. When you're a missionary, you go where they are and you try whatever it takes to get them, being those who don't know Christ, to listen and to hear the Word of God. Do we have a missional attitude or not in the church? This church. Do we have a missional attitude or not in our individual life? Do we really care if the people out there die or not without knowing Jesus Christ? I mean, we're saved. Whoopee-doo. Heck with them. But God didn't have to come and die for us either. But He did. Do the decisions we make as a church point to us reaching others for God, or do they point to us pleasing ourselves? Now, these are some hard questions. You were uncomfortable last week. You're really going to be uncomfortable this week. But here's the question. Here's my question. Is it biblical? Is it what we're supposed to be about? And if it is, we need to get back to doing it. What has happened is we have drifted from where we need to be. We've drifted and allow other things to cloud our mind that should never have been there, because they really don't mean heck about reaching people for Jesus Christ. We've drifted. Do the practices within our church actively invite outsiders to join us? Or do the practices in our church make us comfortable? I told you you'd be uncomfortable. Does what we do in church, do we do it just because we like it? Or do we really do it hoping others will come and join us? That's questions you got to go home and answer this week. And as you come back next week, I'm going to talk about some of the attributes that missionaries have and how the mindset's supposed to be as we reach out to others. And I'm going to ask you, is that what you want for the church or not? Take your connection card, if you will. Now that you know you're a missionary, now that you can't get around the fact that you have the responsibility and the opportunity to go out and to talk to others about Jesus Christ, whether it be across the street, down at the restaurant, wherever you're going today, to your mechanic when you have to have them work on the car or change the oil, to whoever it may be. Will you memorize John 20:21, which is where Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And as you memorize that, realize that wherever you go, wherever you work, wherever the sole of your foot may trod this day or any other day, you are there because God wants you to tell others about Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of doing your daily work or going about your daily routine, He wants you to be an example for Him and to let other people know about God because of the way you treat them, because of the words you use, because of the actions you may use. Or maybe you could check this second one, which will go a long way for us. Maybe you see for the first time that the church is to be mission-minded. The church is a mission. Not a mission that we're here for people, but a mission that we're here to send people out to make a difference in the community. And hopefully, prayerfully, we'll go out and we'll make a difference in a few, and we can bring them in and teach them a little more how to worship God. Or maybe we go out and they say, well, hey, Bob, you're a chaplain. Can you go down to the American Legion and bring a message every Sunday morning at 9:30 for us? You going to do it? I'll call them. But it may be something else simple. Maybe you go out and you've reached two or three women and you can start a home Bible study. Teach them about God. Or maybe you can bring them to church. Whatever. Or how about the next one? You check this. I want God to use me as a missionary. Because now that you realize that's what you're supposed to do, we're praying for the Holy Spirit to give us the power and lead us to the people we need to be led to, that He has prepared. The harvest is ripe. Few are the laborers. Lord, lead us to the ones you have their heart prepared for to help us tell them of your love. And I've got the last one there. I will pray for blank. To know God. Have we been praying for people to come to know God? Have we actually been praying for specific people? Maybe you've got somebody. Maybe it's a son or a daughter or a wife or a husband or a parent or a boss at work or a co-worker or a friend at school. But have you actually sat down and consistently prayed, Lord, would you please open the doors so that put in a name will come to know you? And Lord, if you have to use me, fine. If you have to use somebody else, that's fine too. I'm praying for them to come to know God, whatever. And put a name in there. You know what? Maybe not on your connection card, but write it down somewhere else. And consistently pray for them every day. And watch what God does. Even if it takes 5 years, watch what He will do and the doors it will open. Go with me to God in prayer at this time, please. Father, we come before your throne of grace and we thank you for this day. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And that he gave his life on that cross at Calvary for each and every one of us here today. And Lord, even as I pray that, and I thank you for that, I just pray that you would impress upon us the responsibility we have to be missionaries in this world. And to tell others the good news about Jesus Christ. May that love fill us so much. May that enthusiasm bubble up in us so much that there is no way we can contain it. It has to come out and we have to tell others about you. As we do, open the doors that they will receive you positively, that you will transform their life, and Lord, that they too will become followers of you and tell others about your word. Lord, if we can do that, we're getting into the kingdom and working on a multiplication principle rather than an addition principle. Help us to go forth and tell others the good news. We ask in your name. Amen. Ushers, come forward, please. Your toes look like they're scuffed.